Amen. I hope you're enjoying yourself this morning. Last Sunday, we had a great time with the singles just leading us through the worship. I hope you enjoyed that. We'll keep up with that growth of multi-generation as we build God's church. And yesterday was awesome as the women gathered and had a great time together. Amen. I want to thank everyone that got involved in that. I'm not sure I can mention every name, but Chris, Mac, I saw them get the sounds there, and I was just inspired with that. All the women that were planning it, and there's so many, the elders' wives, the staff women, and all the other women that just did a lot of work there. I really thank God for how God is using everyone. I pray that we can keep up with that spirit. Amen. This month, we're moving on to talking about finding your voice and finding your gift. We talked a lot last month about finding your faith. And we would like us to begin to think about that. How can you find your voice and how can you find your faith? This morning, the class, if you came late, you missed a great class about finding your voice. And we want to do that more. Please come early. We have a great time together. So today, I want to talk about life and doctrine. Whenever you talk about that, what we can tend to do is run into these details of nuances about how am I doing spiritually? What are the things I'm missing? And in the process, we divert from the bigger picture of our relationship with God. This morning, as I talk about life and doctrine, I don't want you to get caught into the rabbits of the details of where am I not doing well. But look at the bigger picture of God, your relationship with God, and begin to grow. It is there that we begin to find our voice, that what God has given to us, our talent. I have a quote there that my life is an indivisible whole, and my activities run into one another. My life is my message. That's what he said, and that's true. You see, if you go into these nuances of one thing, you forget that your whole life speaks about what you believe. That your attitude at work, at home, in the neighborhood, in traffic, in the shops, in the malls, anything you touch speaks the message of who you are, what your values are, what is most important to you. That we cannot get caught up in the small nuances of Christianity, but understand the bigger picture of God and his heart for our lives and how we can touch other people's lives. Amen. When we understand that, we'll begin to forgive ourselves when we fail and recover quicker. We'll walk away from guilt and shame and get to being convicted and overcoming. We'll begin to see the sense of connecting with God as a source that gives us this change. So, let's start moving forward here. First point is watch your life and doctrine closely. Timothy, verse 4:16. The message says, keep a firm grasp on both your character, keep a firm and your teaching. Don't be diverted. Just keep at it. Both you and those who hear will experience salvation. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. What was the setting of this writing? Paul speaks to Timothy because he may not show up in time, so he writes a letter to him and says, here's what you got to do. Some people may rise up in that congregation or whatever the people you're leading, and they'll begin to stop people from eating food or marrying for some reason. But you, instead, you need to keep teaching. Now, why was that set up there? These people were disciples, and they came from a background or a religion where self-sacrifice and not attaching to anything was such a big thing. But now they became Christians, and they were trying to put that into their Christianity as well. So they were basically turning around the Word of God with their old habits, but now as Christians. So now, Paul is telling Timothy, watch out for that kind of behavior. And you may think, those were those people. We do the same thing. We bring stuff from back in our life and try to bring that into our Christian faith right now. And if you read the whole chapter, he gets about training and training himself to be godly. Back then, as you understand the Greek time, the civic world was dominated with being an athlete. And so he tells him about training and training himself to be godly. And then he comes all the way down and ends here and says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. As he speaks there, he's talking about training your mind, training yourself. It's important to understand that for you to come to a place where you hear God clearly, you've got to train yourself to hear God's mind, God's voice and God's spirit. And that is something that we don't take enough time to do. And so we wonder, what's my purpose? What does God want to do with me? But you hardly hear God. You hardly pay attention to God. So he gets here and says, you know what? Watch your life and doctrine closely. We have to watch our lives and doctrine closely. What do we practice? What do we believe? What does the Bible teach us? The church needs to reflect as closely as we can to the Bible, to the scriptures. Not the other way around. Not the other way around where it reflects what I want it to be. No, it has to be what God wants it to be. Amen. And because God wants that to be, that all these people are doing that, and he was being told, you got to teach them right, be straight. He says, then watch your life, because when it's all said and done, we can only change this world by our life, not what we say. This morning, there's a lot of people at church somewhere, someplace. That's not a problem. What will happen after that is the problem. What will happen tomorrow is the problem. What will happen when they leave church? It will be the problem. And so people think of Christianity and wonder, so what is this with Christians? It's because they don't see the difference sometimes. Wow. Right. Come on, Steve. And for us to find our voice, it's not to be different for the sake of being different. It's to hear God so that God may imbue his spirit in us and help us live a life that really can save both ourselves and our hearers. It's something that you have to begin to ask yourself. Does your life speak to God? Does your life speak of God? Does it touch people when they see you? We cannot get away from that. That's our Christian faith. That's who we are. What does your lifestyle reflect? What is the most important thing? What gets you jumping and running? Is it God? Is it the status in Facebook, Instagram? Latest music? Latest car? Money? All those things are good, but they cannot sustain you. God can do that. What areas of your life have you stopped persevering? Persevering is keep doing the right thing even when there's obstacles, challenges. What areas have you stopped persevering in? You know, it's very easy to stop persevering, to go into family groups. You can stop persevering in that because there's a time constraint, and that can be a challenge. But we have to fight to go for that. I mean, raising children can be a challenge, right? You've been at work, it's a long day, and you come home, and they're right there waiting for you, wanting more direction. And you can stop persevering and trying to push them to the TV to take care of them, to the phone to take care of them, to the internet to take care of them. We got to persevere and let God help us grow as we go forward. Maybe you're not just persevering in getting in the Word of God. Why? Because you feel tired. You forget to sit down and hear from God. Amen. Pray. Yeah, maybe your knees pain when you kneel down. You can sit up. Yeah, the other day I was kneeling down to pray and I woke up, my knees were paining. I said, okay, I got to find another way of praying. The different things we can do to hear God. So what area have you stopped persevering in? What about just with your spouse? How is that going? Are you connected or are you persevering and doing the right thing? You will not hear God's voice or find your voice if you give up on perseverance. You will not. You have to do that and watch your doctrine closely. That's when you begin to find God. It's not, if you go on the easy path, the devil is waiting. There are many easy paths the devil give you. God's ways, there's some character formation to happen. There's some things to change. There's some way to change. But that way is what forms God in you. Amen? Amen? Secondly, what's your philosophy in life? We all have some construct about how we live our lives. We have philosophies about life, right? When you come from different generations, different cultures, have different philosophies about life, about money, about how people look, and about all kinds of things. And all that is of the world. And I'm not going to say throw it away, but I'm going to ask you this question. How much is speaking in your life? Is it philosophy or God? You know, it's funny. I grew up thinking I knew a lot of stuff. But as my dad spoke in my 14, when I was 14 and 12, I thought dad was old, didn't understand nothing. Then I came into my 20s and I thought my dad was so right. And then I look at different things and I look at different philosophies and I thought, well, I become a disciple. Surely I'm a different person. Then I get married and I find out there's a lot of sin in me. Selfishness. Then I thought, well, been married 4 years. Surely I've changed. I'm a great person. Something's different. Then the child comes and I'm struggling. Then I said, well, I must be doing so well. Then the second child comes and I said, I'm struggling again. Then I think, I got this down. I'm moving in my 30s and 40s comes and I feel like a failure. What happened? We all have this construct that if are not given to God, they hold us back. We live our lives thinking about what went wrong, what didn't go right, and how good we thought we were, and now we found out we're not that good. And then we stick with that story instead of coming to what God is saying. That story speaks more than what God is saying. So here, what's your philosophy in life? Romans 14, verse 1 to 4. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak, it's only vegetables. If you're a vegetarian, you recognize in the Bible. The man who eats everything must not look down on who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Let us get this setting right. Before this, before Paul wrote this stuff, about two centuries back, a lot of Jews were killed for eating pork. Because if you follow the tradition and the faith they came from, you are not supposed to eat pork. Now, as we speak at this stage when Romans are being written to this letter, we have Christians that have come together in the time of the Greek, and the Greek had pork as one of their best meal. And they're in the same church. There's conflict going on. How can you be saying we can eat pork? But we have Jews that went to school in Egypt, which was controlled by the Jewish, and they could eat that and be okay. But other Jews that came from, no, you cannot touch that. So conflict was rife. It was life on philosophical issues. Very much the philosophical issues. When God is really looking at you this morning, he's looking at your heart.
That's right.
It's what communion talked about today, is your heart. But we can get so caught up in the philosophical issues of our lives. I think this way, I think that way. And when you get caught up in that, you cannot hear God's voice and you cannot find your voice either. It's hard. Because those philosophies begin to be louder and louder and louder than what God is saying. When our lives are about God, we stop judging and condemning each other. You know, as a church, there's no danger from the world to beat us. If we are united in God and walk through our issues, together we can win the world for God. So I want to ask you, what are your prejudices that get in the way of you being able to find your voice? What prejudices do you carry as a person? It's part of growth and finding God. They had them. Back then, the Roman church had those prejudices. How can you be eating pork and you say Christian? How can you be eating pork and you say you're a Jew? That was an issue. So that's why that scripture is coming out. And you understand it, you realize that it was getting in the way of God's work. What are your prejudices? What prejudices do you carry about yourself? About people? You see, we've got to deal with deep prejudices. I'll tell you a story that was very funny to me. I was raised with a dad who was a policeman. So there's certain things that he taught me to look out for. Back in the 70s, if you had jeans on, most criminals that were arrested had jeans on. All right? Hear me out. This looks weird, but it's true. So as I grew up, for the most part, I saw people with jeans and I didn't trust them. I just didn't trust them. I know I put on jeans a lot nowadays. But I didn't trust them. Why? That was the prejudice I grew up with. A lot of the criminals in the city were in jeans. I didn't trust them. I don't have that problem anymore, praise God. You can put on jeans, I love you, no problems. But that's how I saw the world. What's your story? What's your story? What is getting in the way of prejudices, of your prejudice that is just stopping you from seeing God? That's why you may never talk to someone about God, because you have certain fears. You say, they're not open. How do you know? How do you know? You haven't talked to them. You haven't said, hello. Hey, by the way, it's good to see you. How do you know? How do you know your walk is not open to God? How do you know? How do you know that your neighbor doesn't want to know about God? You don't know that because you've never talked to them. It's a prejudice you carry. How do you know? You don't know that for sure. So you don't find your voice because you're driven with fear. So you're never able to find your voice. You're never able to hear God because you're driven by fear. It's not faith. You see people, you judge them by how they look, their size, they're small, they're big, they're whatever. How they're dressed. You say, I don't think they could hear me. You lose an opportunity of hearing God's voice and God walking with you. And so you never see that. So when our lives are about God, we stop judging. We've got to make this about God. God brought you where you are so that you may find him. Acts 17. Everyone, you are where you are today so that you may find God. Myself included. If we do that, somehow we touch the communities around us to find God as well. Amen. Somehow we do that. Thirdly, people take note of your life. So whether you like it or not, people take note of your life. Your neighbors take note of your life, your cousins, your sisters, your workmates. Everybody takes note of your life. They look at you and they wonder, well, yeah, there's something about this person that's different. And so we all are touching society, whether we like it or not, positively or negatively. That is happening within us. We're touching society. And so sometimes we think, because I don't know my skills, I don't know my talent, I don't know what I'm gifted at, you're still touching society one way or another. And the journey to find your voice with God is something that you have to keep walking at, and God will show you. Acts 4:13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that this man had been with Jesus. If you know anything about Peter, he had been afraid of dying just before Jesus went on the cross, right? As things went on, he went back to fishing. Remember that story? Now, fast forward, he's preaching, and he's found his voice. And he's been preaching, and the authorities are saying he's healing people, and people don't want that to happen. And then he comes before and starts to speak so powerfully, that they can recognize that, you know what? They saw the courage in this person. Now, when they say unschooled, it's because of their prejudices. Why? They didn't consider Jesus one of the rabbis. So that's why they say they didn't consider him as one of the rabbis. So they just said they were unschooled because they didn't know who are they from. But they were taught by Jesus, right? So they used different terminologies to say you're unschooled. But in reality, they had been taught with Jesus. They had been with Christ. The Bible says they could see they have been with Jesus, right? And the point I'm trying to put across is this. Your life touches people. Peter has changed so much that when he speaks, they can see that this man has been with Jesus. When you speak, what do people say you've been? Have you been to a drug den? Have you been to a place of love and God has touched you? When you speak, what comes out? I mean, the other day I was driving and I tried to turn in and I asked for permission. This lady let me in. And then as I observed from my rear mirror, they were having a conversation. The lady and the passenger lady was talking so strongly to the one driving. I thought, my goodness, she's about to get in her face. She must be getting some saliva coming through her face because of how she's talking. And I said, what's going on in that car? But anyway, I said, you know what? Keep in your business. Keep driving. That was the impact of that lady to me. But the driver impact was, wow. I made a mistake, but she let me in. And she was very kind when she asked me to move in. And I said to myself, what do people see of your life? What does your life speak in your office, in your neighborhood, and in traffic, and other places? What does your life speak? Is your voice coming out? It is something we think it does not happen. It is happening. Whether they tell you or not, your life speaks something. And church, we've got to begin to connect to that reality that our life speaks to community, to society. We are the light. We have to begin to embrace that and begin to find our voice. What are you good at? What is God trying to put in your heart? Use that and let God walk with you in your sphere to help many people know him. Some may not come right away, but they know where to go when time comes. Amen. They know where to go when time comes. Don't be caught up with the results of it. Be caught up in the worship of God. So, your life impact can transform souls. There are souls that will change because of just how you treated people. That's all. How you treat your children, how you treat your spouse, how you treat one another, as singles, as campers, as teens, all that is impacting our community. We got to do that. Bring God up so people can see that. People don't listen to you speak. They watch your feet. How is that? How are you as a person? Everybody will say, God bless you in one sentence and then be cussing you in another sentence. So many people say that now. We've got to have a lifestyle around it that really says God is among us. Does that make sense? We're not talking perfection. We are talking that God lives among us. That there's growth, there's change, it's evident to God, to ourselves, and to one another. When you understand that, you can then walk this walk with God and begin to find your voice. But you've got to watch your life and doctrine. How close are you to God? We worry too much. Most people worry about what do people think about me. No, worry more about how is my life and doctrine. Walk through that. The rest will be taken care of itself. It will take care of itself. Don't worry about that. Finally, but not least, grow from your mistakes. Church, I know that we've all had mistakes in our lives. Excuse me. Sometimes mistakes can make you never want to talk about it again. You feel shame, you feel anger, you feel resentment. You don't want to talk about it. I know for myself that when I've been in a tough place and I'm able to talk about it and laugh about it, I know I have healed. And I know that God is bigger than my problem. I know that sometimes when that stuff is holding me down too much, my voice can't come out because I'm afraid. I can go above that issue. That issue keeps holding me back. To find your voice, you have to start healing spiritually and changing stuff. You have to heal. You cannot contain it. You need to go to God and give it to God and overcome it. That change allows you to heal, to find voice, to start growing. Many a times, mistakes can hold us back. That happened, I'll never go back. It's like saying, I had an accident in the car, I'll never drive it again. At some point, start doing it again. At some point. People may help you for some time, but not forever. At some point, you'll have to take the wheels again. So, whatever mistakes you've made in life, I pray that you come to them in a God's point of view. Godly sorrow, not worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow brings indignation, alarm, concern, readiness so that things may change. Worldly sorrow keeps you at the same place, so you feel bad and sad, but you don't really move. You stay at the same place. And that doesn't help you to find your voice. You cannot find God in that setup. So Galatians 2, verse 12. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. Let's talk about this a little bit. If you go from the top down and follow the story of how Paul and Peter would go after this issue of Jews and Gentiles, was very much an issue of, in the Jew culture, the pious Jew was not supposed to mix with everyone. Acts chapter 10 talks about that, how he sees a vision of animals and God tells him, you can eat those animals. He says, surely not. But he was trying to show him that you can mix with everyone, and eventually Cornelius comes and they can sit together and eat together. That problem is ongoing in Galatians. So Peter was having a good time until the secular believers show up, and then he pulls back. And Paul tells him, that cannot be. But the flip side is that the Jews can see Paul as a guy who's trying to lower the standard so that he can get more people. That could be the flip side. But Paul was really trying to say, I'm not lowering the standards. Let's get God in the center of this thing. Let's not play like this. So grow from your mistakes. And Peter was beginning to make this growth of connecting and talking to different people. But you have to understand this, that sometimes you can be held back with that. And Paul confronts that and says, you know what? You need to deal with this. Fearing the party of the circumcision. Let's talk about that. Are you afraid? Are you afraid that if you gave yourself totally to God, you are afraid of what God will do with your life? Are you afraid? My story of coming in the ministry was the same. I was afraid that if I became so committed, I'll end up in the ministry. Yes, I was. So my idea was, I'm going to make all the money. All the ministry people can come to me and I'll give them the money. I don't want to be the guy doing the ministry. But God talked with me for about 4 years and I kept playing that game. And I figured, I said, enough. I'm just going to be what I need to be. And here I am. Why was I afraid? Because I thought it was not cool to be a minister. Why was I afraid? Because I was worldly. I wanted more money. And I wanted a title that said XYZ. Not, this is the guy that is a minister. Why was I afraid? Because in the culture I came from, being a minister was equated to being poor. That's my story. What's your story? What is your story? Have you made peace with God? Are you running away from God? Paul was confronting this issue with him. He says, yeah, mix that. Let's get together. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? So let's go here. He began to withdraw and withhold himself, hold himself aloof, fearing the party of circumcision. In which areas have you withdrawn in your life and doctrine? Which areas have you withdrawn? Have you withdrawn in some areas of your life? Think about it. Where have you withdrawn? Maybe you've withdrawn in just being committed to God, withdrawn to giving yourself to God, Which areas are those? There are many. Think about that. In what areas are you aloof? A distant, try not to be connected to it. Which areas? Do you talk to people about God? Is that something that comes to you? Not a campaign. You walk along the sea, Jesus saw some people and talked to them. Is that your spirit? You hear God's spirit and you get prompted, I got to say something to this person. You were going somewhere to pray and then, hey, Lydia was there, let's talk about God. What areas have you withdrawn from? Do you have friends in church? Now let's come back to that sometimes. I told you about your three friends, right? How are we doing with that? Friends, not church acquaintances. Not, hi, I'm doing well. No. People you sit down with. They know you. They don't know of you. They know you. Not they know of you. We go to church together. No. They know you. Amen. How's that going? Good. Multi-generation, multi-everything. Are we walking on that and trying to reach out? And it's all that. Maybe you're aloof somewhere. This morning, church, I wanted to gently encourage you to begin to look at your life and grow. Not small things, but the general aspect of it. And let that see, let your observation help you begin to connect with God and start making changes that will help you find your voice and your gift in God. God bless you.
Amen. I tell you, this has been a truly amazing service. God has spoken to us in so many ways. And the thing that I think about most is that God is working in our lives. He's helping us through His Word to understand His Word, but also to match our life and doctrine together and realize that how important it is. I want to thank Steve Collier for helping us find and learn how to find our voice and gift. I want to thank Steve McKinnon again about, you know, teaching us about our life and doctrine. And most importantly, making our lives about God. That's the most important thing out of this whole message I got. It's not about me. It's not about all of us, but it's about God and about allowing God to use us, because that's the most important thing that we can possess. It's the gift that God has given us to be used by Him. So I'm excited about that. That's something that I want to go out and have a voice to be able to share with someone else, that God is using me. Though we're not perfect, God still, in His love, wants to use us. And that's amazing. So let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for who you are. We're so grateful, Father, that we can come before you, Father, just to worship you, Father, to sing songs, Father, to be able to praise and give thanks to you for all that you do, Father. Though we're not perfect, Father, you look at us, God, and you see us as perfect. You see us, God, that we have a voice to share with other people, Father. And that voice is your word. You've given it to us, Father, and you make us complete in that, Father. And I pray, God, that that's what we'll do, Father, that we'll go out and we'll share with people what you're doing in our lives, God, how you're impacting our lives, God, how you're making us whole, Father. How you're giving us a purpose, Father, that we can use and impact others, God. I'm so grateful for today. I'm grateful for your love, your patience, your guidance. I'm so grateful, Father, for your Son going to the cross for us, God, despite who we are, Father. You are an amazing God, a wonderful God, a loving God. And I'm so grateful that you are our Father, Father, and that you lead us in the way that we should go. So thank you so much, God, for letting us come here today to honor you, to worship you, Father, to give our hearts to you. We love you and we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.